Destroy! 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 Company! Destroy! 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 Company! Prosperity! Destroy! Company! Prosperity! Destroy! Company! Destroy! Destroy! Destroy Company! Prosperity! Destroy Company!
Welcome, listeners. This is Ross Perry Destroys Comedy for another week. Before we get to today's guest, though, I feel like I need to get to the controversy. Need to speak about the controversy that's rocked the Melbourne comedy scene and just tell my side of the story. Okay, so the past week, I was at an open mic. Yes, it was my turn to look after Wolf Boy. Yes, I brought the cage with me, and I left it up in the back, because I thought, Wolf Boy's in the cage, what can go wrong with that? And then I went up, I did my spot. Next thing I know, Wolf Boy is chewing off the ear of a punter. Now, is that my fault? That Wolf Boy somehow got out of his cage and chewed off some poor innocent person's ear? I maintain it was the bar staff that were negligent and opened up that cage. Okay? So before people get to me, Facebook messaged me saying, how dare you, you let Wolf Boy go. I did not, it was the bar staff. It was them. I maintain my innocence. So, I think it's okay for me to take care of Wolf Boy next time. As long as I'm not in that stupid bar again, with the negligent bar staff. I don't even know what they were thinking. Opening up a cage with a Wolf Boy in it. What? Wolf Boy ain't got no money. It's not gonna buy drinks. It's not gonna buy a craft beer or a cider. What are you doing? And that is why I will never perform at the Bendigo Hotel ever again. That and the pus they keep on tap. Alright, we got that out of the way. Speaking of people who are innocent, today's guest, Benny Volchok.
Hello. Frankly, glad to be on this borderline libelous podcast.
Is it libelous, though, if it's all true?
I don't know. That's why I said borderline.
But borderline implies that it could possibly be libelous.
That's right. The possibility is there.
But there's no possibility because it is true. I can back it up.
Look, I wasn't there. I'm just impressed that there was a punter at an open mic.
Well, it was the one.
Yeah.
That's why everyone was so angry.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, you got chewed off. You
gotta get chewed off.
You got to hear comedy with your ears.
That's right, unless it's mime.
Unless it's mime. But this was a mime night.
Uh-huh. So why are they so upset?
Well, they're bad mimes, so all they do is talk with their mouths.
And just describe what they're doing instead of acting it out.
Yeah.
Show, don't tell is probably the main tenet, not just of writing, but also of mime.
It's the only tenet.
Uh-huh. Of mime?
Yep, the only one. Of writing, it's one of many.
It's true.
But for mime, it's the only one.
Show, literally, don't tell.
In fact, get rid of your vocal cords.
True, the best mimes are mute.
Exactly, get rid of them. All the Marcel guy?
Marcel? What is mute, so, yeah. More like.
Yeah, yeah, he got rid of his vocal cords.
That's right. That's the first thing they teach you in mime school. But, in fact, they don't teach you. They give you a check for a vocal cord removal surgeon.
But you know what? This new wave of mimes.
Oh, the talking mimes?
Yeah, I don't like them.
No, get rid of them.
Yeah.
There's been too much, you know, subversion or attempts at subversion in the world of mime, I think. And I think it really needs to go back to its roots of not talking.
Yep, it's the only thing I ask of it.
Mm.
You don't talk, I do all the talking.
You don't talk, I laugh.
I do all the talking. I tell you you're doing a bad job. I huck an apple at you on stage.
That sounds a terrible experience. Why would that be an incentive for mimes to even get up on a stage?
I throw the apple at them. They can catch the apple. They do something with that.
Okay.
I'm doing a little improv mime with them.
So you're calling your heckles improv?
Yes, I'm helping them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Reinventing the heckle wheel.
Yeah, that's what they say. Old Ross Purdy reinvents the heckle wheel.
That's this podcast. Change your name. Change the name of your podcast to Ross Purdy reinvents the heckle wheel rather than destroys comedy.
Well. In some ways, you have to destroy comedy to rebuild it to the final form you want it to be.
Okay.
You know, the rebirth through destruction, so it were.
Uh-huh. Like the phoenix rising from the ashes. Yes. You can't have a phoenix rising from the ashes if it didn't die a horrible, burny, painful death.
Definitely.
First.
You can only set a phoenix on fire during the ashes test.
That's right. Yep. Yes. And then beat it to death with a cricket bat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then the Barmy Army win.
The Barmy Army.
Not the Palmy Army.
No.
The army that just eats palmies.
Well, I don't know what that is, because I call them palmers.
Where do you stand on that debate?
I sit down behind a table and eat it with a knife and fork.
Yeah, that's what I do as well. You don't stand up to do that.
No, you don't, unless it's a standing bar.
Yeah, but even then, I mean...
You'll be on a stool, actually.
Yes.
Yep, cool.
I'm glad we got that out of the
way. Cool, so glad to be on the show.
I think that was what I wanted to get down to...
Yep.
The meat and the potatoes of it all.
Great.
Goes with the Palmer.
That's right. Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know if meat goes with the Palmer. I think meat is the Palmer. And the potatoes in the form of chips go with the Palmer.
Not at the Bendigo Hotel, let me tell you now.
Back to your borderline libelous ways, Ross Purdy.
Come and get me.
Oh, I won't. I'm here.
Come and get me, Bendigo Hotel.
Oh, shit.
Not even in Bendigo. It's in Collingwood.
Really?
Exactly.
That's shocking.
You're saying I'm libelous.
Uh-huh. They're libelous just by existing.
The damn fools.
Right.
But look, I don't want to keep talking about how shitty Bendigo Hotel is.
Neither do I, frankly.
And the Wolf Boy controversy. I want to move on from that. It's just time for me to sit back and listen and tell you all that I did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Listen and tell us all.
It was the bar staff.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I want to get down with it with you, Ben. Oh. Benny boy.
Oh boy.
Benny. Everyone. And the Jets.
That's me. I brought all my Jets.
Yeah, you did bring the Jets.
I brought a New York street gang from the 1950s.
They're in the bathroom of this studio, and quite frankly, I don't like the look of them.
They're practicing clicking.
What, so when they walk down the alleyway,
do the clicking.
I'm not looking forward to that, to be honest.
Look, they've been practicing. It's not going to be that terrible.
Mm. Well.
Sometimes knives will be involved. Mostly it's just clicking.
Okay, but the small percent that knives are involved scares the bejesus.
It's a very small percentage. You got to... Look at the overall statistics. You know, 99.9% of their time is occupied by clicking and being wistful. Sometimes there's knives. There's a 0.1% of knives. And yes, that may result in death and or bleeding, but it's a very small percentage of their regular daytime activities. And nighttime activities, I might add as well.
That 0.1% for scares the bejesus out of me.
Look, stay calm and don't antagonize them. Don't walk in the opposite direction towards them, clicking as well. And just stay out of their way and don't try and hustle their gals.
Right, okay, I'll remember that.
Yeah.
I'll try to remember that.
No gal hustling, Ross Purdy.
Right, I know.
Oh, it's in your blood.
It's in my blood. It's in my genes. It's in my DNA.
Oh, I don't know why it's in your genes unless someone stabbed you and you've bled all over your genes.
Yeah, that keeps happening.
Yeah, well, don't antagonize the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I got stabbed after the Wolf Boy controversy.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to get that out of the way so I don't keep getting stabbed.
That's right.
So you're telling me that
I'm not telling, I'm suggesting.
You're suggesting that that the Jets could do this very same thing to me if I, like, hustle their gals.
Yeah, no.
Get in their grill.
That's right. They love their grills. Don't get in them.
All right, I won't get in grills.
No, and no grill getting in of.
I won't.
No gal hustling. No antagonizing. Don't join the Sharks.
Wow. I wish you told me that yesterday.
Did you join the Sharks?
I joined the Sharks.
It's like the number one thing, which is why I mentioned it fourth. Don't join the Sharks if you want to stay alive with the Jets.
I'm sorry.
They're in the bathroom.
I wanted to join the Sharks because I wanted Henry Winkler to jump over me.
Well, look, you could call Henry Winkler. He could come here right now, jump over. You can rescind your membership because I don't think they treat ex-members of the Sharks as intolerably as current members of the Sharks, because they come around with their, like, Mikey card readers, and they scan your membership card, and if it's defunct, they're like, yeah, you can pass. But if they're valid, much like the Mikey inspectors, they will beat the shit out of you and possibly stab you.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I'll take that chance.
Yeah.
I'll take a chance.
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance.
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, take a chance.
Chance on me.
Do, 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 do.
Any chance on you.
We're singing an ABBA song. Why can't this be in an Australian film?
Are you allowed? Is this under copyright? Do you have to edit this bit out?
I believe we're probably singing off key, so I think we can get away with it.
Sweet. And I wasn't singing the right words.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Great.
So we thought of that. We thought of that.
Glad to be here.
Benny boy.
Russi.
Oh,
Purdy.
Oh, yeah.
The Purdster.
Hey, no one's called me the Purdster for years.
Well, I'm bringing it back.
Oh,
baby.
Please don't.
All right. Purdmeister.
All right, that's better.
Hey, the Purdmeister Russ.
Benny boy, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right.
You feeling good? You feeling tight?
I'm feeling tired. Does that count?
No. I said tight.
Well, I've unclenched all my muscles, so I'm not feeling that tight.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is muscles too tight? Mention
muscles are often tight. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know when you're just feeling very anxious and your muscles just clench.
I know what that is.
Yeah,
my back is like always like a clenched fist.
Oh well, you got to unclench it. You know, get the fingers of your back and just unclench them.
I'm trying to.
Just close your eyes.
Okay, I'm doing that right now.
See, the thing is, Ross, when you closed your eyes, but you clenched your eyes. You didn't just close them. You clenched them. I can see the eye muscles clenching. So
all my muscles clench. I can't help it.
Just close your eyes very gently. And then breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in again. Now hold your breath. Now this time, when you'll breathe out, visualize the breath moving through your back and out into the world. And when you do that, your back muscles will unclench. So on the count of three, you will do this. One, two, three. Breathe out.
I felt it.
You felt it?
I felt
it. You felt it?
I felt it.
Ah, good. Yeah, I'm glad. It's a new thing I've been working on. It's a telepathic massage therapy.
That's good. That's good. That's good stuff.
It's just a little side project of mine.
Is there any way we can like get some details on that?
Yeah, if you go to my website, Ben Volchok telepathicmassagetherapy.com.au /deets, there's gonna be some.
That's good to know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listeners, grab your pens out, rewind, and just write that down.
That's right. Grab your pens, eject the cassette, put the pen inside the cassette, and twist it around, rewind that cassette, and listen back to when I said the name of that website, which I could just say again, but I won't.
No, you won't. No. Because you're Ben says it once, Volchok, we say.
That's right. That's what I am.
Yep.
Says it once.
I did not get you on the show to get into the nitty gritty of the nooks and crannies of the telepathic massage
all
business.
All right.
Let's get into the real dirty business of it all.
Dirty business of porn. No,
what? That is a dirty business.
It's a very dirty business. Nobody showers in it.
Well, you know, not in it, but afterward, I feel.
I don't know. Not in my experience in the porn industry. I've been in the porn industry for 75 years. Once have I seen a shower.
That's a very long time.
Or a sink.
Wow, that is bad.
It's terrible. It's a scourge.
75 years.
That's why they call them dirty movies.
Really?
Yeah, because they're filthy. You know, no showers, no sinks, not even a bathtub, not even like a hose. Garden hose?
Wow, okay. So you are busting open my brain right now.
That's my jam.
I always thought it was dirty because it was like morally dirty.
What's morally dirty about fucking? It's two people, sometimes more, sometimes not even people, just having a fun time. And that's not dirty. What's dirty is they don't shower.
Right. Wow. This really has opened up my mind right now.
You could stick something in there and film it, but don't take a shower.
Stick something in there and film it.
Yeah, that's the motto of most.
The San Vander Valley porn industry.
Yeah, the San Vander Vanander Valley. That's all, folks.
Yeah, it's literally called that. It's literally a Looney Tunes reference.
That's right.
It's to disarm you.
That's right. Go in there and just Bugs Bunny jacking off.
These people in the Bugs Bunny costumes.
I know, it's Bugs Bunny himself.
Really?
They've put him to life, and it's frankly, it's just a rabbit wanking. But they call him Bugs because he's got lots of lice.
Probably because of the lack of the showers as well.
That's exactly
He's got the bugs.
That's exactly the problem. The louse infestation is rampant.
Wow, I'm learning so much right now.
I'm glad to be here.
I didn't think I would learn about telepathic massage or the porn industry.
Well, sometimes they go hand in hand on the Rasputin. Well, not hand in hand because you do it with your mind, but mind in hand.
I've had my mind in my hand.
I bet you have, Rasputin.
My mind in my hand.
Your mind in your hand.
Got my whole mind in my hand. Gotta sing it off key so the lawyers don't get into you.
The windmills of your mind in your hand.
In my hand.
Yes. So, big, bad, dirty business. What are we doing?
I wanted to talk about the other dirty business.
The other dirty business.
Reverse vacuum
cleaners.
That is a very dirty business. I don't know why people want that.
One of the dirtiest. Because they use it to sell vacuum cleaners. It's a conspiracy by Big Vacuum Cleaner.
Oh, those fuckers.
Ah. Very big vacuum cleaner. It's just one very big vacuum, industrial-sized vacuum cleaners. You know those big, like, car-type vehicles that go driving on the roads and blow leaves? Or sometimes they suck leaves. I could never work out whether they were blowing or sucking the leaves. But those things, watch out, because they'll get you.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was always very vigilant about
right.
it.
Yes.
I guess it's good to know that my paranoia was not paranoia, but it was truth.
Justified skepticism.
Justified skepticism.
Skepticism justified. That's the new show, like Mythbusters, where it's like skepticism justification. So it's you got two people going around busting conspiracy theories wide open, and sometimes they prove to be true, and then it's like skepticism justified, like myth busted. Yeah.
I do not want to get into right now the dirty movie you make called Skepticism.
Skepticism?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The porn parody of that.
That's right. Skepticism. Or Skepticism, when it's just they come every second time.
Yeah. Not fun to watch.
No, absolutely not. It's like, maybe next time. And then it is next time.
I mean, it's kind of more realistic, but I don't want realism.
Oh, you don't want realism? No, you don't want... You know, you just want...
I don't want real passion and intimacy.
You don't want people opening up to each other in their most vulnerable moments. You want just hardcore fucking.
Just slamming against each other like two pieces of timber.
Just going
flesh
at
timber.
It like,
going at it.
Like rabbits with lice.
Yeah. Like that one rabbit you were
that
talking.
Bugs.
Yeah, bugs. Is there a Daffy?
There is a Daffy Duck. It's just a duck with mental problems.
That's just sad.
Yeah, I know. They've just taken animals, lovely pet farm animals, and just completely transformed them into depraved creatures. And then they filmed that. That's why I left the industry.
Because of the cruelty to animals?
That's right. That's right.
You see, no one talks about this. No one talks about this.
Not in that sense.
Not in the sense.
No, not in the dollars either. Anyway,
What are we here to talk about? We have just been spinning our wheels and...
Nattering.
Tangents.
Yattering.
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 I destroy comedy. You do comedy. Why shouldn't I destroy your comedy?
Why shouldn't you destroy my comedy? Because there's just so much potential, you know? I don't know. The thing about destroying comedy has been destroyed. Don't you already think there's no, you know, comedy peaked with Buster Keaton, I think, and then slightly got resurrected with the car Brum. I think those are the two. No, I don't know. Comedy is the type of thing. I've felt myself slowly veering away from comedy, actually. The last show I did was like it was a comedy, but it was a very sad and emotional play, but it was a comedy. I put it in the comedy section.
It's just easier.
So in a way, I'm destroying my own comedy by stopping doing comedy.
Destroying the brand.
That's right, my brand of wacky woo woo.
Yeah, you definitely have not been wacky ever since.
No.
Especially not on this podcast.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Everything I've said has been 100% solid gold truth.
Yep.
That's me.
Same as I.
That's right.
I speak the truth here.
That's why I decided to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I do is truth.
Truth bombs. Destroying comedy.
Yeah.
With the truth bombs.
With the truth bombs. The type of truths that people don't want.
That's right, because they cause many casualties.
Boom! But how did you initially get your start?
In comedy?
Yeah, sure.
In comedy. Well, initially I got my start when I got pushed out of a cunt.
We do this thing on the show where I feel like if a guest goes out of line, we have to apologize.
Okay, so. I apologize for that visceral image and the use of the word cunt.
No, I mean apologize for doing that
bad joke.
Dastardly laugh. Yeah, that. It scares the bejesus out of me. You have to apologize for that.
I'm sorry for the laugh. I can't help it. It's who I am. That's my natural It's not my natural laugh, but it could be. Imagine if that was my natural laugh. Ooh, wacky. I got my start in comedy. The first time I stepped on a stage to do comedy material was at the Melbourne University Campus Comedy Competition in 2010, which was, I think, the year after Ronnie Cheng won it.
So what you're saying is you're a year off on being on The Daily Show?
Pretty much. If I had done my comedy 1 year earlier, I would have been 1 year closer to being on The Daily Show, because I did really terribly in my first ever comedy competition. And that really informed the rest of my career. But if I'd done it a year earlier, you know, yeah, the hopes would have been a year forward.
All the pieces would have fallen into place.
I don't know about fallen into place, but all the pieces would have fallen away a year earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what we mean when we say pieces fall into place.
Pieces fall into place. I mean, that is a place.
It's a place, you know, away from here.
Away from here.
Away from here.
Away from here.
So, Melbourne Uni, you
Melbourne
did the thing.
Melbourne Uni, I did the thing. And then I kind of slowly, because before I started getting on a stage and saying what I thought were funny things, I wrote funny things. So I began my comedy conception, if you will, by writing. So that was kind of my background, was always writing stuff, you know, little short funny stories, whatever. And then I kind of decided, because I'd watched a lot of comedy, I sort of decided, oh, I might give it a go being on a stage. And then I kind of just went from there, started trying out different kinds of material, seeing what worked, seeing what didn't, and very slowly continuing this journey.
As it were.
As it is.
As it is.
And as it may be.
As it may be not.
As it will or will not be.
You got a voice for radio, man. You ever done the radio?
I have done some radio.
Oh, I'll lead into that very well.
What a segue, Russ Purdy. I did, I took, there was about 2 years where I did semi-frequent appearances on SYN Radio, so the Student Youth Network Radio in Melbourne, like a community radio station. Most of what I did was I made up my own comedy shows, and I recorded them and put them on the air. Sometimes I had a film program, and I also contributed to the arts program as well. But yeah, mainly it was just little scripted comedy shows. Yeah.
You ever done them prank calls?
Well, no.
On the radio?
No.
You ever
no.
called up a hospital and say, "We're the queen"?
We're the queen.
We're the queen, and then the next day the nurse slips on a banana peel and.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic. Classic radio gag.
Yes.
Of having a nurse slip on a banana peel for everyone to listen to.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, you ever did that?
No, I haven't. Do you want to do that now? Right now?
Nah. I mean, I've done it before. I don't want to do it again.
It is a tired gag.
It is. It's very hacky.
That's right. Much like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Oh.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Bang, bang,
Tom
bang.
Tom comedy is destroyed.
Take that, establishment.
That's right.
And in my mind, comedy is the establishment.
Is it? Well, you don't think comedy is the anti-establishment?
Well, it depends on who you talk to, really.
That's true. That depends on who's doing the comedy, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, no one can decide.
No. But sometimes it's the establishment that decides. You know, it's the establishment that tells you what is and what isn't establishment.
Yeah, I get that. You know, I smoked a whole bunch of ganja before the show as well.
Ah, yeah.
Now I'm all thinking about is the establishment, Woodstock, Deep Purple.
Oof. All those things. Love those things.
I'm drinking 7-Eleven coffee, but there's actually some weed inside there.
Ah, that liquid weed.
It's not very good for me to drink the weed, but I'm doing it.
I can imagine. Deep Purple at Woodstock.
Oh.
And the Establishment Club.
Stupid establishment.
In London. In the 1960s. I know my comedy history.
Where were you when Jimi Hendrix choked on his own vomit?
Standing in the corner lot. No. I was deep in a dark place, sitting in my own vomit. So in a way, Jimi Hendrix and me were brothers, really.
Brothers in arms.
Brothers in vomit.
Brothers in arms of vomit.
Brothers in arms.
They measure vomit
In arms.
In arms,
like
yeah.
Like they measure horses and... it's not feet. It's hands. They measure horses in hands. Did you know that, Ross Buddy? They measure horses in hands.
Ugh. Poor horses.
Poor hands.
Poor hands.
Poor hands.
Paul Hansen.
Pauline Hansen.
Hey, you said it, not me.
That's true. I said it. I'm saying everything that people don't want to say. Oh. Pauline Hansen. Oop, 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 ooh.
Is in government.
That's right. Mm. The establishment. She is the establishment she's trying to destroy. What's up with that, everybody?
Scared the shit out of me. I'm not even going to get you to apologize for that laugh. I know you're just going to do it again, aren't you?
What's up with Hanson, the boy band?
They're a man band now.
They're a man band now.
They're a man band.
A man band.
Or a person band. I don't know what's going on with it.
I don't know. They're the band. They're still going. They're still recording.
They're out there. They're making the records.
Still touring. Making pressing records.
Yeah, no, they're just doing
pushing buttons, pressing records.
Singing umbop for 2 hours.
Umbop for 2 hours.
Umbop
for 2 hours.
See, we're not singing it right, so we're avoiding the lawyers.
Avoiding the lawyers.
And that is
coming soon.
Number 3 are the times we did that joke, and therefore we have won comedy.
Hell yeah, and now time to destroy it.
Yes!
After we won it. Because that's a thing, Ross Purdy. You don't want to destroy comedy before you've won it.
No,
you
know, definitely not.
Because then you won't win it. So you want to win it, and then you want to destroy it.
Yeah, no, stop everyone else from winning it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah.
She won it and destroyed it at the same time.
Yep.
That's right.
I'm still not hearing the end of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. You said it.
Yeah, I said it.
You said it.
I said it.
Ugh.
What she does isn't comedy.
Whoa. That's an opinion.
Yeah.
Opinions party. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Yep. I'd say what she does is comedy and then isn't comedy.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm. I get you.
You get me?
I get you.
You get me? It's she destroyed in a way. Why are you so antagonistic to Hannah Gadsby? She did what you want to do, destroy comedy.
Hey, I'm not. I'm saying she isn't comedy.
She isn't comedy.
That's what I said. So what I'm saying is she is comedy.
Have you seen the new show that she did?
I haven't seen the old show.
Oh, you haven't seen the old show.
If we're gonna dig down to my real opinions, it's of indifference.
Yeah.
So and that's not funny. So no. Let's go to the extreme, baby.
Oh yeah. Comedy and not she's Schrodinger's comedy. No, I reckon you should watch it. You should watch Nanette. The Net
with Sandra Bullock.
No, with it's the Korean film from 2014.
Okay, I want to watch that.
Yeah, watch that. And then watch Hannah Gadsby's Nanette because I mean she raises some very good points, and I think it's worth watching.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the Ben Volchok bump right there.
That's me.
For Nanette.
That's right.
It needs all the bumps it can get.
Oh, it's bumpy ride.
Speaking of comedy.
That's right.
And radio.
Comedy and radio.
You can argue you slap the two together at some point.
Me?
Yep. Doing the, your live comedy shows, but
that's
it's
right.
off radio plays kind of thing.
Yeah, boom, 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 boom. Yep. Segway.
I did it.
One of my last shows was, it was comedy radio plays live on stage. And I'd done a couple as podcasts, but this was I'd written some original comedy radio plays and then did them live on stage and did all the voices and pressed all the buttons to do all the sound effects myself. And it was very silly, very, very gag heavy, very much in the tune of like, The Goon Show or Hancock's Half Hour, that kind of jazz.
A whole show of goons?
A whole show of goons. That's right. All of the lackeys in mafia films and gangster films are all contributing to their own half hour special.
Okay. And Hancock?
Yeah, so that Will Smith film?
Yeah, the homeless superhero.
Superhero,
yeah.
That's right. It was him, and then it was the guy from the Declaration of Independence. No, the whatever that was, that document. The Magna Carta. No.
The
day. The Amadeus.
The day. The clown cried.
The day the clown died, the day the music died, yep. American Pie. Boom, we did it.
Yep.
American Pie. Terrible film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so The Goon Show, Hancock's Half Hour. I love those shows because they're just gags. You know, there's just, it's just funny. You know, it's just laughter. That's why I like it. Cause
just laughter.
It's just, well, you know, and they kind of make some points sometimes, but mainly it's just being silly and just making silly jokes. And so that's what I wanted to do with my shows.
Sometimes it's silly points.
It is sometimes silly points. Yeah.
But not exclusive.
No, like mostly silly gags, silly jokes.
Yeah, the gags. What? You have a gag?
I think I have in the past. When you eat like very thin things, I find sometimes things like very thin noodles or the rocket leaves, like lettuce leaves, rocket leaves, and the little stalks inside of them, very thin. Sometimes if you have snow peas, the kind of little strip that's on the outside. Also, I've had it with bok choy, when it kind of, you chew it up, but it's kind of like, turns into a little sort of a thin strip. And when that gets in your throat, sometimes I do have to gag to get it out.
I get you.
Yeah. That's why I'm on this podcast, because you get me, Russ Burton.
I get it.
You get it.
I get it. I get out.
Get out.
And then us. It's just us. It's just us.
That's right. Then the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like you're the little monster on the airplane wing of my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to tell people you're there, but no one will believe me.
That's right. I'm that.
That's definitely what you are.
That's me. I'm don't exist.
So this podcast is just going to come out like me talking and just then complete silence. You ever thought that? You ever thought that? It's not responding. It stopped responding. I'm free. I'm free. Oh, no.
Oh.
Let's talk about your recent show.
Yeah, so my recent show was, it was called The Final Hours Hour, also including radio, because it was set after the world had ended. And I was alone in a bunker doing a radio broadcast. Not me, but like the character I was playing was alone in a bunker doing a radio broadcast. And it was sort of like a solo comedy play.
What's it like doing a show about the end of the world that people like?
Yeah, it's pretty validating.
Yeah, I imagine.
I gotta say, it's really nice to sort of come out and put out all your fears and then have people sort of accept them, you know, and be like, hey, I fear this too. Yeah.
I imagine all the people.
Yeah. Good on you, John Lennon.
You see this Yesterday film?
No, I didn't.
John Lennon was alive the whole time.
Ah, like, much like Sharon Tate in that Tarantino film.
Yeah, her feet were alive the whole time.
They were alive the whole time. yeah.
The laughter.
yeah, so that was my latest concoction.
You're bringing this back?
I am. It's going to be on for 3 more nights at the end of this month because I thought, I don't know, why not?
Why not?
Why not? And then I'm also doing it in Adelaide next year.
Oh, Adelaide's wild, man.
Yeah.
Adelaide's wild. You think the freaking dirty movie business lacks showers? Oh. I mean, Adelaide, there's no showers in Adelaide.
That's
man.
What I've heard. Adelaide, city of no showers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when you're the city of churches, why have a shower?
That's right. You don't need a shower when you're praying.
Yeah, you bathe in the holy water, not regular water.
You get cleansed by the light of God and the power of Christ.
But since they don't actually exist, you actually just end up being very dirty and
very
filthy.
Very dirty.
Dirty and filthy.
Dirty and filthy, and that's why so many Catholics are in the porn business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all that repressed shame, I think.
Yeah, it's really done wonders for everyone. It's not been destructive at all.
It's a force for good.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's a force for much good.
I did backpack around. I did walk around with backpack around Adelaide once, and then I was mistaken for a homeless man, and a priest at a church just gave me a bunch of fish burgers.
Fish burgers?
Yeah.
How are they?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah?
It was free grub.
Free grub?
Grub.
You got a grub as well?
The grub.
You got a grub. Which kind of, witchetty grub?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It wasn't actually fish. It was just witchetty grubs.
Witchetty grubs. In between two buns.
Two buns. I was told it was fish. I didn't know the difference.
I mean, frankly, I've said frankly about four times on this podcast. If you can spot every time I've said frankly on this podcast, you get to win a sticker of me saying frankly.
Oh, please don't offer people prizes. Okay. And it makes people think they earned something.
Okay, you do not win anything.
You just win the pleasure of listening to this fine program.
And frankly, that's why I'm here.
I'm playing a drinking game now. I'm drinking my weed coffee every time you say frankly.
Ah, well.
Into the mic, which sounds great, I imagine.
Frankly. what a sound.
Great for podcasting.
Thank you.
Doesn't sound ugly at all.
No, I love the sound of.
If you got complaints,
send them to Neil Cesariga Mouth Sounds.
Yep, that
one. I know references.
Yeah, I got references on my resume.
That's right. I don't. I just say references available upon request.
Yeah, then people call you up and all you do is just reference a bunch of stuff like...
Exactly. You remember that episode of The Simpsons when John Waters was on it and he said, zap?
And then they just hang up on you.
That's right. Because they don't remember, you know. Do you remember the John Waters film Pink Flamingos where Divine ate dog shit?
Wait. A person named Divine.
Yeah.
Ate dog shit.
That's right.
That doesn't sound very divine at all.
Well, that's partly the point.
Wow.
Do you remember the John Waters film Hairspray where Ricky Lake was in it?
And then she had a daytime talk show?
She's not in the show, but I'm pretty sure in the film A Dirty Shame, they're in a supermarket and there's a TV screen and it's Ricky Lake's daytime talk show because she got her start with John Waters. And so it was like a little bit of a tribute, if you will.
Yeah, just a tribute.
Yeah. Not the thing, Jack Black. Just a tribute.
Just a tribute. Get off our backs, Jack Black and Kyle Gass.
That film School of Rock by Richard Linklater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That left me dazed and confused.
Yeah, well, you would because you're a slacker.
Oh, but hey, when it comes to this weed coffee, man, everybody wants some.
That's right, in this waking life.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Who am I voting for in the next election, Bernie?
You did it, but you gotta be quick. You gotta do it before sunrise.
No, man.
No, before sunset?
Yeah.
Before midnight?
Yeah.
What are the next one they're doing is in actually quite soon because it'll be like every one of them is like 9 years. So it's like 2022 is going to be the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not in my boyhood.
That's right. It's impossible to learn to plow by reading books.
Is it?
Well, I don't know, but that was the name of Richard Linklater's first film.
Was that what we were doing?
No. I just decided to just tell you what Richard Linklater's first film was.
This isn't the Richard Linklater's first movie podcast. This is the comedians talk about comedy because that's all they got to talk about podcast. Because they got nothing else to talk about podcast.
That's right. I forgot. Let's talk about comedy. What do you want to talk about in comedy?
What is there to talk about? I opened up with Wolf Boy.
Yeah, okay.
You ever look after Wolf Boy?
No, I've been away from that scene for too long. Never got on the Wolf Boy roster.
I would say you missed out, but at the same time, no, you didn't.
No, it seems like a very much did not.
No. No, then people are always arguing on social media about whose turn is it to look after Wolf Boy?
Yeah, see, I see all those arguments, and that's partly why I decided to stay away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be part of a group that can't decide.
No, I mean,
to look after Wolf Boy.
It's just so, there's just so much infighting as a result.
About a Wolf Boy, yeah.
About Wolf Boy.
Yeah.
And I think it's just destroying comedy.
It is.
You know,
I call this podcast Destroying Comedy, but believe it or not, Ben, that's ironic.
Is it?
Would you associate irony with me?
Yes.
Not at all, right?
Yes. Did that sound ironic?
Yep.
Alanis Morissette. You know. I reckon if you do it like material about stuff that's ironic, you know, you could call it an Alanis Morissette.
Why are you away from the comedy scene, man? That is gold.
Ed Byrne.
That is Jesus.
Did a bit about Alanis Morissette.
Jesus.
Alanis Morissette. That is Jesus. I am
Jesus. Jesus is king level good.
Jesus is king.
Yep.
Who is Jesus? Who is a king? What is king?
Well, he is the king.
The king. Elvis Presley. Jesus is Elvis Presley.
So that's what Kanye's going on about.
That's right.
Well, now it all makes sense.
He's a musician. They're all musicians.
Wait, Jesus is Elvis.
Yeah.
So what Kanye is saying is...
Yeah.
Jesus is making money off stealing black music?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, more subversive than I thought.
Jesus is cultural appropriation.
Wow, I've learned so much.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you got anything to plug?
As I mentioned before, I'm doing my show that I did for the Melbourne Fringe Festival. I'm doing that again at the end of November for 3 nights. It'll be at the Motley Bauhaus, which is a venue in North Fitzroy. It's very cool. It's got like art spaces and it's got a little theater at the back, which is where I'm doing my show. And it's going to be on November 29th, November 30th, and December the 1st at 7:30 p.m. The show is free, so you can go in, but then you can pay some money to if you like the show.
Oh, that's how they get you.
Yeah, that's it. Boom, boom, as Basil Brush would say.
Got to get that guy on my show.
I love Basil Brush. Comedy hero, to be honest. If I was to rank my comedy influences, Basil Brush probably top 10.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom, indeed.
As the sound of destroying comedy with a bomb.
Boom. Got any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I've said most of them. So if you just go back from where we are now.
Yeah.
You'll find my final thoughts, I think. Any final, prompt me and I'll tell you some thoughts on it.
Okay.
Quick fire, okay. Final thoughts round.
Okay, what do you think about art and its place in current society?
Great, keep it. Next.
Ben Volchok, it's been great having you on.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Signing off, listeners. we need to really take a photo. At the end of this.
Oh, okay, all right.
We need to take a photo.
Are there any photos here we can grab?
Of each other.
Of each other?
With each other.
With each other.
With each other. Like a selfie or something.
A selfie. Is this being recorded? Is this on the podcast right now? We're talking about what we're doing after the podcast.
I just signed off, didn't I?
I thought you signed off, but you're still recording. Are you still recording?
I'm not still recording.
Has any of this been recording?
No.
Shit.
But we really need to take a photo.
Okay. Das Party, das Deutsch, Dominik!